some of the highest prices for diamonds, gold, silver, semi-precious stones, coins, flatware, and currency. Located at 4506 Hampton Avenue, just three blocks south of Chippewa. Learn more at jewelsonhampton.com or call 314-752-5000. That's 314-752-5000. Jewels on Hampton, paying some of the highest prices.
Club Fitness is the right fit for everybody, and it's the right time for everyone to lift local. Join by September 15th for free with no enrollment and no processing fees.
With over 800 free weekly classes and free kids club at 24 locations, lifting local fits my budget, my schedule, and my fitness goals.
So join now and find what fits you.
Free is the right fit for everybody.
Club Fitness. Join by September 15th for free with no enrollment and no processing fees. See club for details.
Every great success story starts with one brave decision. And if you're one of the millions of Americans with college credit but no degree, one brave decision is all that stands between you and the future you want. At Maryville University, we know returning to college takes courage, but your decision isn't really about going back to school. It's about moving forward. And we'll be with you every step of the way. Let's be brave together. Learn more now at online.maryville.edu.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
you okay?
How's your penis?
Crossed over.
What?
If I never have.
It's fine, I guess.
Orange, but it's fine.
That's a great joke.
Like coolest at my feet.
My mic chamber's low.
That's a good joke.
It is a good joke.
But I think I told it like 3 months ago. Four months ago. You know what? I don't keep a log or a calendar of like when I told a joke, but I sort of have a pretty good idea if it's been over 6 months or just 2 or 3 months, and it's just all rolling around in my head. And that's the only thing I got rolling around in there. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome aboard. It's hot again. You know, this is the reason they shouldn't close pools on Labor Day. Because look at this, 93 or whatever. What's the official, Tim? What's the temperature?
Look, 90.
Okay.
And my pool's open.
My car's at 92.
Our pool at the condo is still open. It remains open until pretty much the whole month of September.
Good for them.
Yeah.
I think it's any, like, parks or public kind of places that they close them. So if you don't know and haven't stepped outside, I will just tell you that today, the 9th of September, is absolutely another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day?
All right, so here's what we decided to do. The Burke segment, of course, but we're going to start, if I can remember, to throw the phone numbers out right away, because this whole first hour, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. I have a couple of things that I would like to address, one being the air show over the weekend. But here are the numbers, 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Now, those are also the numbers you'll need in the 4 o'clock hour, because Josh Bauman, our tech guy, will be with us. And we're going to have on live by satellite a big name a little bit later.
Yeah. Really?
Bob Dylan is coming to town. He's going to be at the Stiefel October 22nd, 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. And tickets go on sale September 13th. So I have a cell phone number. I called him earlier. I said, Bob, would you go on with us live? And I don't do an invitation, but yeah, that too. Yeah, I talk. So he'll be with us. That's exciting.
That'll be good.
The Burke segment starts something like this. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Well, all right. I'll get to hear my daughter say that next month. See what I did there? wedding tie-in.
Aww.
know what I did ask her? I said, are you guys going to do the special write your own vow? She said, no. They're just going to get on with it. Do you take, do you take, I do,
I swear. Do.
Yeah, done, done. So, Dan Strauss, everybody.
Thank you so much,
you're welcome.
Frank.
Welcome.
The term break a leg.
Mm-hmm.
You know where that came from?
I don't. I know it's a showbiz term.
It is a showbiz term. It's
is it John Wilkes Booth, maybe?
No, it's not. But that would be that would probably be pretty good too.
When he jumped from the balcony, he broke his leg.
He did because then he went to see Dr. Mudd, wasn't it?
Right, Samuel Mudd.
Yeah,
and that's where the expression "Your name is Mudd." Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So this expression came, it's from the music hall and vaudeville days around the 1800s.
Okay.
So producers would have, like, on standby, they'd have, like, several different acts to go out on stage. And
I guess, based on what you've just said?
Yes.
The person waiting in the wings wants the performer to break a leg, so they get to come out. So like an understudy.
No.
Okay, sorry.
No.
Go ahead.
There's an imaginary thing called the leg line. If you're in the wings and you come out onto the stage, that would be the leg line, and it's an imaginary little barrier there. If you cross the leg line, you get paid. Otherwise, if you don't get paid.
Because you don't get out on stage.
Yeah. So people would say, break a leg. So
I don't believe that's it. I don't know where you saw that, but I'm not buying
it. Actually,
that
sounds legit to me.
I think it sounds more legit. You know, every play, the star has an understudy waiting and ready. They know the lines. Yet, a lot of times, that person never gets to be in the play, even though...
Never gets the limelight?
Yeah. And so I think it would make more sense if they go, okay, break a leg, and they really meant, I hope you break your leg. That way I get to go.
But it's a term of, it's supposed to be a term of good luck.
I know. Encouragement,
and,
I know.
Yeah, and they're saying break a leg became a good luck wish that you would be paid for your performance to break that leg line, that imaginary leg line.
Okay. Wikipedia says it has unknown origin and that Dan's version is one of four possible origins of the phrase.
You know what you just did? Wow. Took the wind right out of sails.
Yep.
No,
you
just took the wind, right? He had something to contribute, and then, of course, you mean Tim Woodard.
What are you talking about? You just told him he was wrong. You said, I don't think that's what that means.
He said it was one of four.
I didn't say I'm not mean, too.
One of four origins.
You were mean first. I'm just following your footsteps.
Yeah, I think only one person should be mean to him at a time.
Oh,
I mean, just.
I thought you were done, so I thought it was my turn to be mean.
No, but I don't think you were mean, Tim. I thought you said that one of that was.
It's actually the first one.
One of four.
Dan's version is one of the first ones.
That could be.
Mm-hmm. What are the other three?
One is bowing to break a leg. It's for bowing or curtsying, which means that when you break a leg, you actually bend the leg or break the leg into a bend. Because that means you did a great performance, and people are calling you out for repetitive curtain calls.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That one sucks.
Yeah, I don't like that.
The Greek origin, it says people didn't clap in the time of ancient Greece, so they stomped for their appreciation, and if they stomped long enough, they would actually break one of their legs.
That one really sounds far-fetched.
That is really stupid because that's saying the audience is going to break their legs stomping their feet. So that's stupid, too.
And then there's the Lincoln Theory, which you guys talked about, that John Wilkes Booth claims in his diary that he broke his leg leaping to the stage of Ford's Theater after murdering the president.
That's the only
and
one
actors
heard.
Did not start wishing each other to break a leg until the 20s, 50 years later. So they say that's unlikely. So I think Dan's one's probably the most credible
Dan,
one.
Dan, you win. I think you win.
All right.
Woohoo! Anybody else?
All right. I have one more thing.
Okay. And again, once again, Dan Strauss.
And thank you. And I do want to say that I was raised Catholic, but I got over it. Plenty of counseling.
By the way, this is really weird. I have a Catholic joke today.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
This is a Catholic school and a church in Nashville has banned all Harry Potter books.
What the hell?
Yes, they have.
Don't say hell when we're talking about the church.
I know. It's St. Edward's School.
Randy, he always says that.
Is it because it like talks about the devil stuff or it talks about magic stuff?
It says the pastor there says he removed all the Harry Potter books from the library. And
replaced them with Penthouse magazine.
Yes, yes. They said these books present magic and as both good and evil. Which is not true, but in fact, a clever deception. So he also writes in this email he says that the fantasy fiction books are actual curses and spells which, when read by a human being, risk conjuring evil spirits into the presence.
This guy's an idiot. This guy shouldn't be a preacher anywhere.
After he says these are not true, then he says that they are true. Yeah.
By the way, Pastor, all you've done now is made every kid want to read Harry Potter. When you take them out of the library, now they're all going to read it.
Is he going to take out Lord of the Rings as well?
Yeah,
I don't know, but he said he consulted. He consulted with several exorcists before making this decision.
Well, he's an idiot. This is not even a worthwhile story.
How many exorcists are there out there?
There's lots. There's apparently lots of them.
Well, Jane Fonda, Richard Simmons, they did exorcist tapes where they exercised. The original guy was that Jack LaLanne. He was an exorcist.
So there you go. Just another one of those weird things in the world that we live in today.
Okay. Limey, you're the only one left. Well, Tim, did you have something?
Yeah.
Tim Woodburn, everybody. Frank. Welcome.
Today is my nephew Joshua Huddleston's 21st birthday.
That's a good birthday.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, am I the only one in this room who... when I turned 21, one, I have no memory of it, and two, I know I didn't do anything. Anybody else?
I do.
Same hand.
That was my whole birthday. I was going to tell you a funny story of my 21st birthday.
Now it has to be funny.
And it will be. It will be. I promise. I'm a July birthday, and it was before my senior year at Mizzou, and I was living up in Columbia at the time, and I rented not just any bus, I rented a yellow school bus.
Beautiful.
Whoa. And this is back in the days before, you know, school buses had sound systems.
Can you rent a school
bus? Uh-huh.
No kidding.
Yeah, you can rent a school bus. So I rented the school bus, and I bought 8 Domino's pizzas, and I invited all my friends to get on this bus.
That is a great bus.
My version of a limo. But here's the best part of it. The stereo
system. Were the 8 pieces just for you? Or
No. I was skinny. I was skinny back in those days. Yeah. So that was for any of the women that we could bribe to get on the bus with us, because it was mostly guys at the onset of this party. You know, eventually it got filled
up. Did you try that trick where you punch a hole in the bottom of the pizza and go, "Want some sausage pizza?"
That was popcorn.
Oh, that's the popcorn trick. Right. I'm sorry.
I had a dual cassette player, which was a highlight item back in those days.
Oh yeah,
that's how I made workout tapes back then. Was you put that record on pause, you put that other cassette in there, and you want to get that next song on that cassette on
was
that
it
blank
a
cassette.
TAC, by any chance?
I don't remember what.
Remember
the
that
brand
was a big.
Was.
Remember that name TAC? Yeah. That was a big name in recall. Oh man,
oh, yeah.
Oh, TEAC. Oh, if you had a TAC, the only double cassette I ever saw or had was the TAC.
TAC was like Bose and
it was high end.
Yeah. So we had to stop the bus at a hardware store, and I had to buy electric tape because the only way for the bus to hear the songs like Guns N' Roses' "Appetite for Destruction" had just come out. That was big back then. And I wanted to play that cassette first when we drove around, because we went bar hopping, you know, and then we eventually loaded the bus up and pulled people on the bus, and the band ended up announcing a party back at my rental house, which other people lived in, and they had no idea I was going to throw a party, which made it fun. And the duct tape had to hold the microphone of the bus against the speaker of the dual cassette player. And that's the only way we could get sound throughout the entire bus.
You couldn't hardwire it in.
You're in the agenda, baby.
You know, and that's about the quality of it, but it was still fun, and we sang along to it. That's how we had sound on my 21st birthday on a party bus.
Well, you know what's sad for the rest of us is, Dan, do you have a 21st birthday story? I didn't do anything.
I
did was turn 21.
Yeah, I was in St. Louis Airport on my 21st birthday on my way home, so I didn't do nothing.
I don't remember
a whole lot of anything.
I do remember one thing that I went to buy beer and they did not card me.
Oh,
I was waiting for them to card me. Wow. I know it. I was so disappointed.
I was married at 21.
Oh my God.
No, yeah. You.
So when I turned 21, I guess I knew by then that the following June I'd get married. So, you know, I didn't do anything. Except, honest to goodness, I don't even remember having that birthday, because 6 months later,
married. What it means is you can legally drink. I mean,
and gamble.
And vote.
It used to be vote. Now it's 18.
Right. You can vote. I mean, you can carry a gun and fight in a war when you're 18. You can vote when you're 18. You can drive when you're 16. You can see an R-rated movie when you're 17. You can vote and buy cigarettes, I believe, when you're 18.
Right.
19, I don't believe is anything special.
Only in Indian casinos, because we were on vacation years ago in Arizona or something, and one of my sons had done his homework, and he goes, Dad, Indian casino is 19. He was 19. He couldn't wait to
do what?
Gamble in the casino at 19 on certain Indian
reservations. So 21's a big one.
That's a big
It's really kind of... It's really kind of, in my opinion, the last big one until you go 40, because 30s, nobody's...
Yeah, 30 doesn't mean anything.
It 25 really is kind of big because your car insurance goes down, which that's nice.
If you're a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They really put it to young guys who are driving, more than women, and I understand why, because young guys kind of hot dog when they start driving. But you're right. It is about 25. The rates go down.
Yeah.
I actually do remember that because I'd been married about 4 years. And I thought, hey, my rates just went down. I forgot about
Save some money.
Do you know why that some little convertibles have that goofy half back seat that you have to be an amputee to sit in? Because it keeps them from being designated by the insurance companies as a sports car. A true sports car is a two-seater.
Right.
So they put that little bench seat back there that nobody could sit in. And that way, it's not
class.
Category, and the insurance rates are lower.
Jeez.
How much lower?
I think I saved $10, $12 or something.
It dropped a whole lot.
No, but it's enough that... you know, it makes
maybe
it,
30.
It's noticeable. It's a noticeable.
Yeah, I think it dropped more than $10.
Yeah. It's a noticeable difference. I think you'd save like 20% off the what you would have paid if it had been an actual Corvette two-seater sports car.
Did you have birthday parties as a kid?
I never had a birthday party
ever.
Really?
I have no memory of ever having a birthday party. I don't have one single memory of having a birthday party.
We always used to have mine in like the McDonald's or the Pizza Hut. You know, the little kids ones and stuff like that?
You know what?
I love that.
I gave my own party when I was 15. When I turned 15.
That's sad. Did anybody come?
No. I had I only had two friends, Mac and Larry. And I took $5, and Mac and Larry and I, in Savannah, Tennessee, little hillbilly nothing town, with my $5 bill, I took Mac and Larry. The three of us went to Wolf's Restaurant. We had the cheeseburgers. And then we all three went to a movie. On $5.
Wow.
Cheeseburgers and a movie. I do remember that. It wasn't a party, but that's the only birthday where I remember doing something.
The only two.
And by the way, what's wrong with that picture? I'm buying their lunch, and it's my birthday, and I bought their movie tickets for 40 cents a piece.
The only two Cardinals games I ever saw in Wrigley Field in Chicago, which is a must-see destination anybody.
Yeah.
I sat in the bleachers on both games on my 40th and on my 45th birthday. With about 25 family members and friends that all caravanned up there, and I had some that lived already in Chicago. And Mark McGwire hit two home runs on my 40th birthday, one into the bleachers, and then they won again on the 45th. And just taunting and heckling the Cubs fans because the Cardinals won both games, which is rare for the Cardinals to win up in Wrigley. But those were, even though the 21st was memorable to school bus, the 40 and the 45 in Wrigley Field. And the Cardinals win with family and friends will be the best two birthdays I have before I'm 6 feet under.
You don't know that. You can still have a great birthday.
You know, I don't know.
I
don't know that there'll be one where I could get that many people together to celebrate it all at the same time because everybody's gotten older, they've gotten married, they moved away, and I just don't... To be able to still be that young and still kind of have everybody concentrically located and be able to commit to something like I don't know that I will.
What I find laughable now is they throw these 40th birthday parties for people, and they put black balloons, like, okay, your life is over. Hell. It's 40! But they act like, well, okay, this is it.
Who puts black balloons up?
Oh, I've absolutely seen
it. They do for 40.
Helium black balloons.
What does that say, Neil?
It says 40, it's over.
Oh, no.
Now it seems ridiculous.
That's just so rude. It's like a black birthday.
A friend of mine made a birthday cake for his lawyer.
May I
continue?
Sorry.
Easy
there, Tim.
Sorry.
So a friend of mine made a birthday cake for his little sister for her 30th birthday.
Right.
Like, big tongue-in-cheek. It was a gravestone, and written all over it was, over the hill,
30?
Old hag. Yeah. And she felt terrible for turning 30. She thought that she was just like, life was over now.
One foot was in the grave.
Yeah.
My, that,
Go ahead.
On my bucket list is to go to Wrigley to see a baseball game. I've been.
And the least sports oriented guy in here, me, I've done it.
I know.
I've been there.
I've been there for a concert at Wrigley, but never for a baseball game, and I want to see a baseball game.
Yeah, the toughest decade of your life, I think, is, well, the teens, that's tough.
Yeah, the teens suck.
And 20s. Because in the 20s, let's say you get a job and you work in some company, nobody listens to you because they don't think you know anything because you're 23.
True.
And then 30, all of a sudden, Bob, what did you have to say? I'd like to hear your idea. Oh, okay, because you're 30 now. But if you're 20-something, yeah, fine, we'll think about it. Next. And then they turn into the older guys.
Well, also in the 20s, you see how the world actually works. You know, like you get a full-time job and right. then you see how much taxes are taken out per month and all that, how much bills you got to pay. Like you start to understand the world a lot more.
What
in
was the first full-time job you had? I mean, 40-hour week, paycheck, a real job.
I was served as a waiter at a hotel in England. And that was the first one. I got my first paycheck. And I looked at how much taxes were taken out. And I remember I went to my dad. I was like, you see this? Like, what the heck? Wow. And he just laughed. No,
this is a great, that's a great point.
Laughed.
Because in school, they don't teach you.
No.
About. There ought to be a course. You have algebra and science and life. And there's a course in life. And they talk about paychecks and Social Security and withholding tax and mortgages and that kind of stuff. One of my boys, I don't remember which one it was, when he got his first job, and it was a part-time job, I think, at a landscaping company, a haul and dirt and whatever. He came home and he goes, well, they screwed me on my paycheck. And I go, what are you talking about? He said, it's supposed to be $40 a week. Look at this, $33. I said, they took taxes out. What? I mean, he had no idea. Oh, yeah. He was ready for $40. No,
nope. It
doesn't work that way because they don't teach you that. And I'm sure there are a lot of people at 20 go, what's a mortgage? What does that mean? Because, again, they don't teach it.
They do have classes like that now in high school. I can't remember the name of it, but they do have a class like
called
that.
Life.
That teach you.
It was so intimidating to buy. I've only bought one house in my life, the house I'm in now. I bought it when I was 40. And I remember my entire 20s and 30s thinking how intimidating of a process that was, and there's no way I would ever be able to accomplish that. I mean,
You don't know what to do.
I was just so overwhelmed by the money that was involved and the down payment and the financing and the credit and just everything else and just, you know, the search of it. And then
you get to closure.
And the permanency and then the fact that, you know, I was kind of bouncing around as a sports guy. Am I going to live in this town for another 5 years or not?
No.
You know, and so I just thought to myself, my God, am I going to just live in an apartment my entire life?
And for 20 years,
I thought that.
And I thought, are we going to live in a trailer? And I mean a trailer. Not the double wide, just a crappy in a trailer court. And I just mentioned this to somebody this weekend. One of the greatest days of our lives as a married couple was when we got our own washer and dryer. Have you ever been to the laundromat?
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
No, thank you. I get it. I'm glad they're there. When you need it, it's good that it's there. But man, the first weekend that we didn't have to carry those plastic baskets full of clothes and wait and dry them and fold them, that was great.
It's just annoying because, like you said, when you get them out of the dryer, then you've got to fold them, make sure they're all in the hamper nicely. Then you've got to take them home because you can't just take them up and stick them in the bag or in the basket like you would at home. Because
no, but some places they have somebody there. For X amount of money, they'll fold them for you. Except we didn't have the money. That's why we're at the laundromat.
And some of those dryers didn't dry on the first go around.
No.
You had to stick more quarters in.
Let me tell you chaps a little something, okay? In college, living in a dorm, if you didn't have money to party, like to go out to the bars every night or whatever, the place to be was the laundry room.
Because you knew
the ladies were all going to be down there because they didn't want anybody stealing their clothes. Guys went down there, throw a load in, and go back up and watch TV. Girls are all worried about their stuff getting stolen. These girls would sit down there, and they'd put their quarters in, and they'd sit there and read or study or do homework. And it was a big room. You know, I lived in a dorm that had eight floors. And four wings on each floor, and we all shared one big laundry room. So, I mean, if you needed somebody to talk to, or if you wanted easy, like shooting fish in a pond.
And by
there.
The way, here's the only positive thing I remember about the laundromat. It always smelled good. It smelled like Downy fabric softener.
Yeah.
It's a good smelling place.
That was the spot to be, I'm telling you.
And you get to see what kind of underwear they wear. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you see them take them out of the dryer and stuff. You go, right. Ooh, she likes a little thong, pink, lacy stuff. So,
and if she leaves the room, you can, like, open her thing real quick and, like, you know, smell them and then throw them in her thing.
Okay, you know what?
You open her thing and smell them.
See, we let it go just a little too long.
I said it to make you all laugh. No, you all laughed.
No, you didn't.
You all laughed.
You said it because you did.
No, I didn't.
You probably still do.
The guy did it on Vision Quest.
I bet you go to laundromats now and do that.
I did actually do that once.
Sniff women's clothes.
I check them first and make sure there's no spots.
Yeah.
This is the one time my friend actually attacked me. Didn't beat me up, but he actually attacked me. I was staying over at his house and his parents were out. Nah. Oh. His mom had just done her laundry. Yeah. So I went and I put a pair of her underwear on top of my head and then walked in the living room.
Dirty or clean?
Not clean. Oh. And he just instantly just... tackled down.
He should have. Like, you'll take another guy's mother's panties to put them on your
head. You know, the American Pie movie had just come out, so we all just learned what the world's
MILF. Should we talk to
MILF,
a couple people here? John, yes, that John, or whatever his name is back. Hello, John.
Hey, I'm in the pen there, guys.
Well, there. Yeah, we knew it there. What's up?
Hey, I want to ask you a crass question. If you're 21, American tradition says you got to take young guys to these naked, you know, these hustler-type stores or whatever.
No, that's not American.
Are you talking about a strip club?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your duties are. Yeah.
Well, then, if that's an American tradition, it's the first time I've heard of it. To me, it's 21. They usually say go out and have a beer, son. Like, that's the first beer the kid ever had. Yeah,
John D. Merkin tradition is as soon as the guy gets a fake ID, then you take him to the strip club.
It's not on the actual birthday.
Yeah,
it's not on the birthday.
You don't wait till 21.
Yeah, nobody waits that long.
Oh, is that right? So you're saying that they're breaking the law by going to these titty bars?
Yeah,
of course.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's where probably... I tripped over this long thing was sticking out the hallway. I said, what the hell is that? Oh, okay. So it must be one of them guys, the young guys, then, huh? You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Nope. His tongue?
We have no idea what you're talking about.
When you get it.
We just want to hurt your feelings.
I actually didn't get it.
Oh, I don't care what you're talking about. Hey, other thing is, when you go to these laundromats, you hear all these people talking about they bring all their clans with them. You know, they bring their cousins and aunts. When you go to laundromats, how come they have to bring the whole family with them to do the laundry?
Well, first of all, again, John, you described a scene I've never seen. I mean, when we went to the laundromat, I did not see. I saw lonely people, maybe a couple, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, right. But I didn't see people bring their families to the laundromat.
Maybe so, like a mother with little kids or something. Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, do you remember the time when the Walters go, goodbye, Billy Joe, goodbye, Billy Sue?
Good night, John Boy. No, they didn't say goodbye. Yeah, hold on, they didn't say goodbye. They said good night. Good night, John Boy.
Billy Sue.
I thought I was in a Walton episode every time I go to laundromat. I go, hey, Billy Sue. Hey,
that was the transgender Walton.
John, I don't know what laundromat you went to, but we never saw that.
That's reaching.
Oh, you never saw that?
No.
It's transgender Walton. It's the LGBTW.
Yeah.
Ever since I've been on the show, your ratings have gone up. So I think
hang on, John. Let me check. No, let me check the ratings. I have them right here. Hold on. Let me check the ratings. Oh, boy, he's right.
Yeah.
Skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Well, you're right, John. You're right.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, good show. I appreciate you guys' show. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I just had an email from somebody who named yet a fifth station he calls. He's all over the place. He can't possibly work. You know, he said he worked, but you can't work and listen to 8 radio stations and call them. Jim has been very patient to sit through that. Thank you, Jim. Welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Good afternoon, Frank. Thanks for taking my call with 9 a.m. and the p.m.
Well, thank you.
I'm going to try to follow up the last phone call as best I can.
Okay.
First thing is this, when I turned 21, Frank, I'll never forget, I turned 21, and we didn't have any casinos at the time. I couldn't go to Las Vegas. I turned 21 on 7/7/77. I thought, man, would that have been great to go to Vegas?
Oh, my goodness. Wow. If ever there was a casino day.
Oh, man, that was crap table.
But at that time, Frank, you remember 1977, we didn't have casinos or anything like that here in St. Louis.
No, you had to go to Atlantic City. Or Vegas.
Vegas.
Right.
Yes.
And in fact, so, did we have Indian casinos, did we?
No.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, you're right.
The second thing is, Frank, you know, we talk a lot about, like, voiceovers and things like that.
Right.
I remember last week or the week before you had Mike Evans on. You talked about, remember, Keith Jackson, the famous football announcer on college football games. But Frank, you know when's the first time you probably heard him?
No.
Was where? Probably if he did the narration for all the Rocky and Bullwinkle and Dudley Do-Right cartoons. If you go back and listen when they talk about, remember when they would set up the scene for the next cartoon
yes,
or something?
Yeah, but on that, I don't, Keith, are you sure that was Keith Jackson?
Keith Jackson. Go ahead and listen to it, Frank. Pull one
no,
up.
No, we don't want to listen to it. I had a research. He's already on it. He's checking it now. Mm-hmm. I don't.
It's Keith Jackson was doing the narration. You know, like when poor Nell was on the railroad tracks.
Oh,
know,
no, I know exactly. I know exactly. I can hear it now. Let's check in back downtown. And, you know, where we saw Secretary Jenner, and she was talking with her boss. And I don't think I think it was that delivery.
I think it's Keith Jackson.
I'm going to say no. It wasn't, but
I'm going to say yes, Frank.
Same delivery.
Oh,
but I don't think so.
It's Keith Jackson, Frank. I remember reading the credits at the end. Narrator Keith
Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Rocky and Bullwinkle. Narrator for Rocky and Bullwinkle. I'm going to go. I don't think so, but I know why you would think that. I can hear the similarity.
I think it was somebody like Robert Conrad or
somebody way
like
before Keith Jackson.
Robert Conrad was Fractured Fairy Tales.
Oh, that's right.
Well, this guy knows
Fractured Fairy Tales.
Okay.
So I'm positive that's Keith Jackson. Guys, thanks for my call. I always enjoy listening to you. Again, like I say, following with John is a chore, but I hope I did an okay job.
You did a fine job. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks.
He's not, according to my research on Rocky and Bullwinkle's Wikipedia page, Frank. The narrator was William Conrad.
Aha. Who played Frank Cannon, a detective with a car phone in his Lincoln Mark IV.
Yes.
How about that?
On MeTV.
Frank Cannon was the original Lone Ranger. He was the voice of the radio Lone Ranger series.
You know what? Rocky and Bullwinkle had three narrators, William Conrad, Paul Frees, and Edward Horton, so I don't see Keith Jackson's name on it anywhere. I think you're right, Frank.
I like being right sometimes, and feels good.
Rocky and Bullwinkle, I never got those cartoons until I got older.
I still don't get them.
Oh, I love those cartoons. They're so funny.
The only cartoons I liked were Popeye and hold on. Mighty Mouse.
Oh, I loved Mighty Mouse.
I pretty much watched all cartoons, but my dad would not allow Woody Woodpecker to play.
Because it had
on
the word
TV.
Pecker in it?
No, he just hated his laugh.
Well, you know, No. He didn't want you to hear the words Wood and Pecker because you might get aroused and get in trouble. And then look what happened years later. You got in trouble anyway. Got a girl pregnant. Because
get aroused by a male bird? What are you trying to say?
The words. Woody and Pecker. Jeez. Woody and Pecker. It's subliminal. And it got in your head, and look what you just did. You got a girl pregnant with your Woody Pecker. So there you go.
Oh, my Lord.
My Woody Pecker.
Yeah, that is a little irritating. And it used to be on in front of the movies at the theater before the movie would start. And the Woody Woodpecker commercial would come on. Or Roadrunner. I did like Roadrunner.
Oh, I love the Looney Tunes.
Yeah, because Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote were always getting flattened, and then they'd get up like a piece of paper. Remember that? They'd run over by steam.
Do you remember the name of the company that Roadrunner always, or that Wile E. Coyote?
Acme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just thought of it.
Got it.
Now, wasn't there a real company that was AMCE, and they just kind of like copied it and tweaked it a little bit to get the Acme?
It was ACME. But the bomb was always a big cannonball looking thing with a fuse on it. Same bomb every time, big black ball.
Or a giant rocket that he would have like roller skates on, and he'd light it to try and catch him.
Yeah.
I love that.
Hey, Marv just called and said that he's not going to listen anymore. Yeah, but no, he said that William Conrad was the voice of Gunsmoke on radio and not the Lone Ranger.
He is correct. That is right.
And not Lone
Ranger. No, he is right. It was Gunsmoke. He was the original Matt Dillon on the radio.
Yeah.
And he was a great big guy. He was an unlikely TV star because the TV stars of TV series, Magnum, Tom Selleck, you know, Rockford, Mannix, and then here comes this great big fat guy, William Conrad, who has a Lincoln Mark IV, because it's a big man car, and a car phone. Nobody had a car phone. It wasn't cellular. It was just operator-assisted car phone.
It's on MeTV. You can catch it, I think, nightly. Mannix is on.
Perry Mason.
Yeah.
Let's take Guy's call here. Yeah. Guy, welcome to 590. How are you?
I'm all right, Frank. How are you today?
Good. And then, Guy, I don't like the sound of that, because are you okay? Because you sound all right. Like, maybe there's something wrong. Is everything okay?
Oh, no, everything's fine. I'm AM to PM.
Okay, well, then everything is fine. What can we do for you?
Well, my 21st birthday was very memorable because I spent half a day in boot camp in Great Lakes and half a day at home celebrating.
Nice.
Yeah, the nice part is the half day at home was the nice part. My dad went to Great Lakes Navy, right? Boot camp.
Yep, that's where
it's
I was.
Interesting. They call Great it. Where else do they call it boot camp? Because in the Army, it's basic training. I never said I went to boot camp. I went to basic training. The Navy is boot camp. Isn't Marine Corps, don't they always call that boot camp, too?
I think that's boot camp.
It's part of the Navy, yeah.
I think the Navy would be flipper camp or something instead of boots. Get it?
The 18th, I've got a dentist appointment down at Ballast Dental Care.
Well,
I'm driving all the way from North County all the way down.
Is it your first appointment?
First appointment with them, yes.
I'd like to hear from you after that if you drop me an email.
I sure will.
Okay.
And you was talking about old cartoons.
Yep.
I still got a VCR player, and I got a whole collection because I go to these thrift stores and stuff, and I buy up all the old cartoons I can find, like Mighty Mouse, Underdog, Casper, all those.
Underdog. That's a sad life. Underdog. The fact that you have a working...
I don't get a chance to watch them, but I kinda...
The fact that you have a working VCR in itself is...
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, here's
get
what's wrong
you,
with
mate.
It, though. All of those tapes are going to disintegrate. And at one
Maybe
point,
one
guy,
day.
You won't be able to look at any of them because they will disintegrate.
You'll have to transfer them.
Mylar disintegrates. If you want to keep any of them, you need to transfer them now.
When Miss Polly's in trouble, I am not slow. It's hip, 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 and away I go.
Thank you, Dan. Now, Dan, also while we're at it, go ahead and give Guy Popeye. Go ahead.
Skeet, skeet, skeetly, daddly, do. Come over here.
Remember that time Popeye was in St. Louis? He went down on Olive and thought it was grand?
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you. Guy, was there anything else?
Oops.
You was talking about Popeye?
Yeah.
Well, they was on the... with Skippy and the captain, they actually came to our school when I was in grade school and did a show right there in our auditorium for us at Christmas time.
It was Cookie and the captain.
Cookie and the captain, that's right.
You know who Cookie was?
I know he was later.
Jim Boland. He later was a weather guy on Channel 4 and a sports guy on Channel 4, and the captain was a guy named Dave Allen who passed away many years ago. How about that?
Oh, those old shows like that, you know, they were the greatest.
How about Channel 30, Mr. Patches?
Oh, my goodness.
I remember Mr. Patches, and they interviewed him years later.
Jack Miller.
His name is Jack Miller. When they canceled his show, he said they had reservations for 10 years for a show to continue when they actually canceled it.
Well, that sounds good. Yeah. I doubt that they had him for 10 years, but every town... had a kid's show. Bozo the Clown started wherever, and then a bunch of places had their own Bozo.
We had Corky the Clown.
Yeah, Mr. Captain 11, Mr. Patches, Corky the Clown, Cookie and the Captain. All had kid's shows. And that's another thing that is gone. No local station has anything for
Saturday
kids.
Morning cartoons.
Because you can't compete with YouTube Kids. You can't compete with the Cartoon Network. You can't compete with that stuff locally. So the good old
days. And the cartoons nowadays aren't nearly the quality, I don't think, is some of the ones we had back in the 60s and early 70s.
It's because they're not allowed to be shown on the air right now. There's so many episodes of Bugs Bunny that had blackface or that feature black people in a negative way as slaves and stuff. I mean, seriously, yeah. I mean, they were
politically incorrect and violent.
I know.
Hey, Guy, thank you for the call. Was there anything else?
No, that's it. Enjoy your show. Listen to you all the time, and keep up the good work.
He couldn't bring himself to say good.
You know,
keep up the work.
Work.
So, anybody know who Uncle Remus was? Song of the South. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder. He was a black guy, Uncle Remus. Song of the South, the Tar Baby, Br'er Rabbit, the Tar Baby. You ever heard of
that? Yeah. And the Tar Baby?
Are you kidding me? Yeah, oh my goodness, when I was a kid, Br'er Rabbit, which was for Brother Rabbit, but it was black talk, like Bonnie's, Br'er Rabbit, and the Tar, wow. Baby. No, no. It was a color full-length motion picture called Song of the South. It was a big deal. It played in theaters all over the country.
Your kids might have watched this show. I know it was popular when I was a kid. The Thomas the Tank Engine, but George Carlin was the narrator.
Yeah.
And then before that, Ringo Starr.
Yes.
I had really?
No, yeah, no, I had no idea.
I know of that, but they didn't watch it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I watched that when I was a kid. I didn't realize like who they were until I was in like 10 or 12 or whatever.
Here's one for you, Limey. I wasn't a big cartoon guy back in the day, but here's one I remember. And see if you can guess which one this is.
Sure.
Oh, Race Racer, you really my brother?
Speed Racer.
Yes. My favorite.
They always had like, he was the Japanese Stab- mouth.
I don't know.
With Chim Chim. Yo, Spritel and Chim Chim and Pops and his brother, Racer X.
That was some like, it was some Japanese animation that came over here. So like the lips would carry on moving or they'd stop.
And Trixie.
And the English people. And
the English words would be over.
Yeah. Here comes Speed Racer.
Okay, as long as we're taking the trip down memory lane for old people, Deputy Dog. Just think about that, though, how ridiculous that is. A dog who's a deputy sheriff or something.
Dog. Do you remember Wacky Races?
Yes.
Dick Dastardly.
The Wacky Racist.
Wacky Races.
Oh, I said the Wacky
Racist.
The
Wacky Races.
What was the... I remember...
George of the Jungle.
And what was the one that really... is coming to mind now is the one where they had Haji and they had like they were always
Johnny Quest,
the evil spider that could shoot lasers.
Oh, you guys,
yeah, it was Johnny Quest.
Yeah, he
watched a lot of TV.
Johnny Quest with Race Bannon.
Johnny Quest was awesome.
And this is all I remember. I don't remember what the characters were. Rough and Ready. Remember this? There were two. There were Rough and Ready. Was a dog.
That's what it was called, Rough and Ready.
Yeah, but they were a dog, and are they both dogs? I don't know. How about Top Cat?
Remember that?
He was like
He had the waistcoat.
Yes.
The vest.
Yes. He was like the coolest cat in town. Top Cat.
I love that.
I think I'm running out. I think those are the only ones. Oh, Tweety Bird and Sylvester. I never thought they were funny. That wasn't that
really?
Funny.
Really?
Nah.
Oh, I love those.
Nah. What?
Rough and Ready.
Heckle and Jekyll.
Let me tell you something.
The Two Minor Birds.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Rough and Ready aired from 1957 to 1960.
Three years.
3 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't
remember a theme song. I don't remember what they were. Oh, Flintstones. We got to remember Mr. Flintstone. But Rough and Ready, that's all I remember was the names Rough and Ready. And one had to be a dog. Rough, you know, I guess. And
Flintstones used to do, Fred and Barney would do Winston commercials, too.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they would go back and smoke a cigarette and talk about, hey, Fred.
Hey, Barney. Looks like you changed cigarette brand.
Yeah, Fred.
To see you young people that are listening, you're already tuned out by now. Because you don't want to hear this old people talk. Look at these phones. Can I take a couple of these real quick? Well, that's what we're doing. This is what you do around the retirement home. You talk about stuff like this. Mike, welcome to 590. How are you?
Yeah, AM and PM.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. What's up?
Yeah. You need to rent a movie, Woody Woodpecker. It's a new one.
A new Woody Woodpecker?
Oh, is this the one that
came out? Years old.
Yeah,
he's the only cartoon character in it. Your grandson would love it.
Really? I've never...
Shit.
Well,
Mike,
you can't say the SH word on the radio.
Oh, okay.
That's all right.
Mike!
I don't know that's so funny either, though, is it?
the movie is.
I've never heard of it. Never heard of it.
It's only a couple years old. My grandkids got it from
me. Is it just called Woody Woodpecker? I thought it was going to be a porn. I thought it was just a porn movie.
No.
Like, the lead character is Woody Woodpecker.
He's the only cartoon character in it. And there's these poachers that try to get him.
Okay.
In.
Well, we'll check it
he
out.
He makes them shoot each other with tranquilizers.
All right. Well, I might. We'll check it out.
And the other one is Johnny Bravo.
Yes. I love Johnny Bravo. That was a cartoon.
He was one of the best newer old.
Oh, yeah. It was in, like, the mid-90s. He was this guy who was just obsessed with getting ladies.
He was Elvis.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Thank
you. He'd have these girls throw him around, beat him up. He was always getting in trouble.
Family, that's called Dominatrix.
Family fun. That's a family show if I ever heard
one. Yeah. All right, Mike. All right, thank you. Right. Thank you, Mike. Yeah. You're throwing guys around. That's what domination.
When you first said rough and ready, I was thinking about the old time strip bar. Well, hey, fellas, coming up on stage two, we got rough and ready.
Well, that also could be the name for a porn movie, like a domination movie. Let's get Randy, I think, is next. Randy, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Just fine. Hey, Rocky and Bullwinkle, their two arch enemies were Boris and Natasha.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yeah, the Russian spies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who was there? Boss.
Ooh. Oh, that was that little guy.
Didn't he have a monocle?
Yes.
Yes.
Man.
Who was their boss? Is the question?
Yeah, yeah. Who was that?
I didn't like.
Who was Boris and Natasha's boss? I can't remember.
Rocky was a squirrel, right?
Yeah.
Rocky was a squirrel. The dictator was the fearless leader.
The fearless leader.
Yeah.
I just remember he
didn't look it up online, didn't he?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
hey,
no,
hey, Rocky, what's me pull a rabbit out of my hat?
Hold on, Randy, don't talk when Dan is doing one of his many impressions. Go ahead, Dan.
Sorry. Hey, Rocky, what's me pull a rabbit out of my hat? Open up the sleeve.
Oh, you screwed up the ending.
Oh,
you screwed up.
Wait, who said he said
hey,
it again.
Hey, Rocky, what's me pull a rabbit out of my hat? Oops, wrong hat.
Yeah, then you go. Rocky. Mm. He just did Rocky.
Randy, are you still awake? You still with us?
No, Randy did.
I'm still here.
Randy was doing Rocky.
Oh, I missed that. Randy, let me hear your Rocky. Or Bull.
Again?
Oh, my goodness. And people wonder why we don't plan a show. Well, we don't have to. Thank you, Randy.
On ESPN's Sunday Night Baseball, they made their sideline reporter, and I can't even think of this guy's name. They made Scott Pisan, I think is his name. They made their on this nationally televised game on ESPN Sunday Baseball, or actually a Wednesday night baseball game, the Cardinals and the Brewers. They made this guy do his Elmo imitation on the air to read a commercial liner during the game.
And see, I'm sorry to say this.
Hear me tell you, everybody.
Yeah,
and
that was a bad imitation. That was very good.
See, and I don't know Elmo's voice, so I don't know.
That was pretty good.
To me, it was good.
That was bad. His was better.
It wasn't too bad.
I see Josh Bauman over there writing out his resignation. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to be part of the show anymore. I don't blame him. One more quick one from Janet. They got 1 minute. Janet, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing? I am AM and the PM.
Thank you. I have 1 minute. It's yours.
My parents took me to see Song of the South when I was a child.
Yeah.
And I thought Uncle Remus was the smartest person I had ever seen in my life.
He was not depicted in any way. There was nothing, I didn't think that I remember racist about it.
Yeah. Well, they said it was the slavery issue because the slaves were singing. So I bought the DVD of it, and I showed it to my grandchildren, and I explained about slavery being bad. But I said, you know, I wanted them to see about Br'er Rabbit and Br'er Fox. I thought they were hysterical.
I remember loving it as a kid. I don't remember much about it. And I wonder if you can go on YouTube or online and watch it. I'll bet they've taken it off there. Song of the South.
Yeah.
Tim will check on it. Thank you, Janet.
Uh-huh,
thank you for calling. Okay, now I have to agree. Great. Song of the South is one of the first color movies. It's part animated, part live action. The Blue Bird was animated. First Community Credit Union,
You can buy it.
You can?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to invite everybody who will consider doing this to consider doing this. And that is, change where you do your banking. It's a tough call. It's a tough request to make. Because it's just not that big a deal to most of you. It's just not that important, but it should be. I'll tell you why. A lot of people have become First Community Credit Union customers, members we're called, and they bank there. A lot of it started with one thing, and that was the car loan rates. They probably met a neighbor or a friend. He goes, well, I got the greatest rate. What are you paying? Oh, well, I'm only paying. And they say, well, where do you bank? They go, First Community Credit Union. So somebody moved their car loan there, and they're thrilled to death because their payment went down. And that's how it started. I don't care where you start. Here's a good place to start. Just move everything. Your bank won't like it. So what? Your money, your loan, your savings. Do whatever you want. First Community Credit Union. I hope you enjoyed the yard sale Saturday because that is the one and only exclusive sponsor that makes that yard sale possible. You like this show? I'm only talking to those of you who like it. Don't answer if you don't.
They play a big part in keeping this on the air every day, too. You can thank them by letting them know how much you appreciate it. Tell them your AM and the PM. Thank them for the yard sale. Even better, if you're not a member, become a member and do all your banking there, as I have for the last several years. Over 40 locations, the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. First Community Credit Union, more at firstcommunity.com. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Charlie Marlowe. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
Senator Dick Durbin is speaking out against e-cigarette use after five people have died and hundreds more have been hospitalized from respiratory illness. Speaking today in Chicago, the Illinois Democrat said previously healthy young people are getting the illness because the FDA is misguided and is failing to protect them. Durbin says manufacturers such as Juul are targeting teens with enticing flavors, adding the product.